this morning.
Tuesday morning. I texted him on Friday, and they put his mother in hospice, and he has an appointment Monday morning, and he may come back to Iowa on Monday or Tuesday, depending on his mother's health. And I did talk to Dean Ramsey. His son, Rob, has had some feeling in his hands, but the doctor said it's going to be year-long rehabilitation, which is kind of a setback for him. Dean and Cheryl, I think they're on their way home because they've missed some appointments, medical appointments themselves. And Pastor, we don't know, depending on his mother, when he'll be back. But I think on this week's schedule, there shouldn't be any cancellations except confirmation on Wednesday, depending on Pastor's situation. And Brad Tilber's, Donna Tilber's son, received his biopsy results, and he was diagnosed with a rare cancer. Any other contribution statements are available outside the church secretary's office. If you need them sent, call Amy at the office. And this is the last week for donating to the Ramsey fundraiser. And unless somebody else has any announcements, oh, please be seated, I'm sorry. No other announcements? Okay, call to worship, no, excuse me. The prayer after the announcements. Our dear Heavenly Father, please settle our hearts and minds to your focus on you during this time of worship. We want to see you, we want to hear you, and we want to be more like you, Lord. We lift up the concerns of your people, specifically healing and comfort for Pastor Tim's mom, Frida, Rob Ramsey, Dawn, Cheryl Meyer's daughter, Brad Tilber, Bob and Lisa Floss's friend, Rich, who recently passed away, and those that we name silently. You are the great physician, so we lay those loved ones at your throne. We are grateful, we are so grateful that we can come today and lift up your name. Let this time of worship be like a sweet incense to you, our mighty and loving God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The call to worship today is from Exodus chapter 33. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion, Moses proclaimed. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin.
Your breath in our love, so we pour out our will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our love, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out.
The responsive reading is from Psalms chapter 145. I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever.
I praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever.
Great is the Lord. He is the most worthy of praise. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, and filled with unfailing love.
The Lord is good to everyone.
He showers compassion on all his creation.
Honor your words will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you.
They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power.
They will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and the glory of your reign.
For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom.
You rule throughout all generations.
The Lord will always keep his promises. He is gracious in all he does.
Oh,
needed for the reading. We're not reading a gospel this morning. The reading for this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 14 through 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner beginning, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measures of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. I'm excited to tell you about my trip to Tanzania. I got home a week ago Thursday. I'm finally on Iowa time. A lot of you have heard my story, but I'm going to tell it to you a little bit different than you've heard it in the past, I think. It'll lead up to my trip this year. So the first time I went to Tanzania was in 2012, and I met these 10 young kids at the STEM orphanage. That's where we stayed part of the time. And then I learned a lot about Tanzania, how the foods that they have, how the culture with the Maasai people, how they have so much fluoride in their water that it can cause their teeth to be brown. It can cause little micro breaks in their bones so that they can have really a lot of orthopedic problems. And I even milked a goat. And then in 2013, I stayed at the orphanage again and got to know these kids a little bit more. And little Lucy in the top left of that picture, joined the gang. And that is the year that Lawrence asked me if I would be willing to start a Christian vocational training center. And I also learned about, there's me and Lawrence. And he started working on getting the NGO status, non-government organization. And I went home and I Googled, how do you start a nonprofit? And Google does a lot of things. And I learned on that trip, I learned a lot about how other NGOs work over there, nonprofits, and learned more about the business aspect and how that particular area was farming. They didn't use any equipment back then. They still don't use a whole lot. And then in 2014, I go again, and the orphans were growing more and more, and in my heart as well as in their physical size. And Psalm 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And many of you have heard me say, I didn't even know what the desires of my heart were. I didn't realize how much I cared about children. We started the Joy Kids program here, and I took charge of that when God finally said, Patty, you're the one that needs to be in charge. And I didn't realize I love the Tanzanian people so much. And both Lawrence and I continued to work on getting the nonprofit statuses we were needing. I spent time in the pharmacies over there, being a pharmacist. That was interesting. I learned a lot about their healthcare system. God was preparing me. And then here we are in the school system. This is a classroom. I learned a lot about their school system that year. Very crowded. They have laws on how many times they can cane the kids. I just learned a lot. It's out in the villages. Their teachers are not very good. Again, God was preparing me. Here's 2015. Those kids kept growing. They kept finding deeper spots in my heart. And Lawrence and I were visiting different vocational training centers to learn as much we could about what we needed to know. And they were giving us advice, and we were figuring out how we wanted to make our vocational training center look. They all said, start small and grow slow. And that was the year that both of us, I got 501c3 status here, and he got the NGO status there. And then came 2016. That year, oops, I kind of went fast. That was at the orphanage. Funny story, I took a game called, I can't remember what it's called now, but Heads Up, I think it's called. You put a band on your head, and then you have a clue on your head, a card, and then the people give you clues, and you have to guess what the card says. Well, and these kids, it was at night, we were playing, and they were doing so good. I figured it would help them learn their English, and they were doing so good. They were figuring it out so fast, and here I came to realize they were going to the windows. It was dark outside. They were going to the windows and cheating. But we had a lot of fun. And that year, my daughter Sharon went with me, and we learned about the Hadzabi tribe and went hunting with them. And then we found our first building that we had. We're going to have our first class of tailors in. And that was January of 2016. And here's our first tailoring class. And they started in February of 2016. In 2017, at the orphanage, they had gotten a lot more kids. And that was the year that we decided, you know, I need to break my ties a little bit with them. And we had students now that I had to give my heart to. So here's Lynn went over with me, and we interviewed each of our students. And they always get a thrill thinking they're teaching us how to sew. But it's a treadle machine, so it's a little different. We don't have electricity for our machines. And we had moved to a new site shortly after we started because the village leaders thought we should have something for the boys. And so we have carpentry on the right there and a tailor working away on the right, on the left. That year also we went way out into the bush and went to a Maasai tribe. Took them some clothes and some shoes, so I learned a lot about that culture. On the far right is Lazaro. He's on our board over in Tanzania. And then Lawrence is in white. And then a couple look a little different than the rest. You can probably guess who Lynn and I are. Often that Sesame Street song, one of these things isn't like the others. That goes through my head a lot when I'm in Tanzania. And then we had our first graduation. That was very exciting. Our first tailors that graduated. But I didn't get to go to the orphanage anymore. It broke my heart, but it was time. As the graduates went out, new students came in. Oops, I'm flipping fast. And it had to be a little scary. We had a lot different atmosphere than they were used to in school. We do no caning at all. All our teachers are good Christians. It's a very loving environment. They have a hard time leaving at the end of the day because it's a very different environment than a lot of them have at home. Our students are from 13 years old to 23 years old. So right now we have one student that walks 2 hours and runs 2 hours to get there every day. Most of them walk 2 to 3 hours to get there. Once they graduate and are making money, they'll support their parents, their siblings, maybe their aunts and uncles and cousins. It's a lot different than, everything's different than here. When they get to school, they call it morning glory. We would call it a devotion time. They sit under a tree now, and they sing hymns, and they praise songs, and they have prayers, and they read from the Bible. We have a number of Muslim students, and they aren't required to be there. The village we're in is 70% Muslim. And before they leave at night, they also have evening glory, and they do the same thing. Thank Jesus for safety. Safety is always a big concern there. And then on Fridays, Pastor Aaliyah, a local pastor, comes and they have devotions. We would call that a worship service, but their worship services on Sunday are 3 to 4 hours long, so expect me to be here for a little while. Right now we have about 100 tailoring graduates, but they're, because they come so far away, they aren't populating a small area, the graduates. We have about 20 carpentry graduates. Here they are working away. Wow, it's kind of loud. We get quite a few carpentry students start, but it is really hard. If you've ever done any carpentry work without electricity, they come in as little boys, they leave as very strong young men. So a lot of them don't last very long. We try to encourage them to go into tailoring, but some just won't. And then we currently have about 7 carpentry students, and we have about 30 tailoring students, both guys and girls. And one of our outreach programs is to partner with MOST Ministries out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. MOST stands for Mission Opportunities Short Term. And in 2019, we taught our tailoring students how to make feminine hygiene pads for when young girls menstruate, because usually in the past they'd just stay home from school, they wouldn't go to work, whatever. So now 3 or 4 times a year, only the girl tailoring students will make kits with the pads, underwear. They'll have soap in there and a washcloth and a little tie string bag that they make. And they've taken them to schools in the past. They give them to their friends, their moms, their family. So that's a really neat project. And then this is the third year we've had an eyeglass ministry. We kicked the carpenters out of our carpentry shop and turned it into an eyeglass clinic. These are the folks that went this January. They're from Denison, Iowa, Detroit area, Ann Arbor area, Chicago, St. Louis, so it was very diverse. And then Lawrence is in the front there. And on Monday, when we started our clinic, here were 4 of the oldest orphan kids that had been at STEM. I was so excited that night, because I thought I may never see them again. But they came as our translators. They hadn't started back to school yet. And that night, I just wept in bed. God's goodness. Amazing the songs Melissa picked out today, because that would have been my theme for that. This time in Tanzania was God's goodness and God's faithfulness. So they are now 18, 19, and 20. So Emmanuel on the far right, he was my translator. And then Isaiah, he helped with pulling glasses, and I'll run through that. And then Maria and Glory, they helped with dispensing, where you put the glasses on people and see which ones work best for them. So this is the front porch of the carpentry building. And on the far end is where the pastor is and Jacob, and then Emmanuel and I on the close end here. And the pastor had witness bracelets. They have different colors on them. And gray, he could tell the gospel through the witness bracelets. Gray is for sin, red for the blood of Christ, blue that represents baptism, then white for the purity that Christ gives us, green for the growth in Christ, and gold or yellow for heaven, tells us of heaven. And then Jacob would tell them what was going to happen when they got into the clinic, and he would also give them little eyedropper bottles and an explanation of how they could make their own saline solution, because everybody has dry eyes. It's very dry and dusty most of the time. Although last year we told you it was flooding and we got stuck in the mud and all that. But most of the time it's very dry. So I was kind of the screener. So I got to see everybody that came in. And Emmanuel would translate for me. So I would ask them if they'd ever wore glasses, kind of find out if they were nearsighted or farsighted. I would look in their eyes with a little pen light to see if I could see cataracts. Pretty much everybody 50 and over had cataracts. Sometimes you'd see a prominent blue line around their eye and that they had diabetes. And sometimes there'd be little bumps in the whites of their eyes. That was if they get dust, then your eye kind of makes a callus over it, and that can keep growing and cause blindness. Very interesting. I've never seen that here, but last year I saw a lot of that, not so much this year. And then I'd look to see if anybody had an infection. And unfortunately, we had to turn two people away because we don't want the infection to get on the equipment that we were using and give everybody an infection. Next time we do it, I'm going to go buy a bunch of antibiotic drops so I can give them an antibiotic drop because you don't need a prescription. You can just do it over there. So from me, they go to have their eyes tested. You can see on the wall, a lot of them can't read. So they use hands, they point, and they show which way the hand is going. And these are the tools that they use. They, you know, you go to the eye doctor and they use a machine, and is it better an A or B, one or two? Here they just take the flippers and they can test for nearsighted and farsighted. And then we had 4,000 glasses. So if you ever have used glasses, happy to bring them here. And I ship a big box. Probably I go to the eye care center too and get any glasses that have been donated. Probably once every 6 weeks or so, I have a full box that I ship to Ann Arbor. And they clean them up, they fix any bows and stuff. And then they put the number of what the prescription is on them. And they're in India right now. So that's they're all in order of their strength. And so they pull the glasses, two or three pair, to go to the dispensing table. So Trey was at the dispensing table with Glory as his translator, and he was it was really good that he had people his own age with the kids that I've known forever. Trey's story, if you haven't heard, when he was in Joy Kids in second grade, he told me he was going to go with me to Africa someday. So he went as a freshman in high school when he was 14, and then he's a senior now, 17 years old. He wanted to go again, missed tons of hockey. So that was pretty exciting. And then next to him is Gail. She's from St. Louis. And she was in charge of music. Everybody has a job. Trey was one of the bloggers, if you read the blog while we were gone. And Gail was in charge of music, and Maria is her translator. And from when they were really little, Maria and Glory were huge singers, beautiful voices. And Gail, if you give her a job, she's going to be very thorough. So she had songs in Swahili that we sang. She had all kinds of songs, and they were all in a packet. So if nobody was at their table, they would start singing. And other people waiting to be seen, the Tanzanians, would sing with them. It was really, really cool. We weren't as busy this year, so that was a neat thing that happened. So they have a chart on their wall, too. So you'd try on glasses and look at the chart and see which glasses work best. Some people were more into the fashion than the look. Like here. And then Walt, he's from Chicago. He's 80 years old, and I think this was his 18th most trip or something like that. He'd been there a lot. And Emmanuel, he was filling in wherever he was needed, and he was helping that gentleman. So you're never too old to go on a mission trip if you want to. And then everybody gets sunglasses. And so if you're ever at a dollar store and see some cheap sunglasses, you can get them to me. There's a couple of people that were totally blind, and they have two white canes. And the lady on the right, she just took that cane and walked all around the room, no problems. Her son was struggling to let her go because they're used to helping them. And then on the left, his son was helping him too. But a lot of people already come in with a stick that they kind of lean on. These you can't lean on. So if it's an older person that is already using a regular stick, they don't want to change things up if they're getting along well. So it's well orchestrated. A lot of the neighbor kids are watching, wondering what's going on. So one day we called them over, and here Jacob is explaining the colors on the finger puppets, the same colors to tell the gospel to them, and they all got finger puppets. So that was a sweet moment. We did get to see Godlin for a short time. She was here summer before last, and many of you got to meet her. She sends her greetings, and she's doing pretty good. The things that are happening at Next Life. Again, God is so good and so faithful. We have running water in the bathroom. Very big and exciting. Before, you'd have a bucket of water, you'd take a big cup and you'd flush it that way. Now we have the big tanks on top and plumbing. Another new thing is we have a beautiful gate when you come in. Usually when you have a property, the first thing you do is put a wall around it for security. But back in 2020, when I went in January, there's some huge problems with our Muslim landlord. He did not want us there anymore, so we had to move quickly, and we really had no money in January. We didn't even have enough for the budget, but God in his faithfulness, we moved with a tailoring building, enough bathroom to make it work, and we just had a lean-to for the carpenters, and we moved in July. So since July of 2020, we've come a long way. God is very faithful. We've got part of our wall done. This is a new building. On the left will be the guards' house where they will sleep. In the middle will be storage. And on the right will be a kitchen for Janet, who cooks for the students every day. There's talk about maybe starting some new vocations. So then maybe the middle will be Mary, our director's office, for a while. And the tin building on the right will stay our storage. That is currently where the guards live on one side and storage on the other. And then the little place on the left, that's the kitchen. So this is a huge upgrade. God is so good. And then the wood, that's what they use to cook over. And then it'll be propane once we move into the new kitchen. Behind the wood is where the gate is now. It's amazing. And this is that the first picture of the new building is when we first got there on the 2nd of January. And this was on the 14th of January when we were, the last day we were out at the campus. So they're coming along. I usually don't go on safari because I've been there many times, but because I was the guardian for Trey and he's underage, I feel like I need to go where he goes. And it was amazing. We went to the Ngorongoro crater, and they don't have giraffes in there, but right before we got there, there was this huge giraffe outside the park, and we got pretty, from here to the balcony, we were that close to him, and he was huge. And we, last time I went was when Trey went, and we searched and searched to find lions, and we saw 16 lions this time. Some were very, very close. So that was pretty cool. The crater is a huge volcano that collapsed. So, and everywhere you look, you see animals. It's kind of like the Garden of Eden. The wildebeests and the zebras, and you see lions, and they could go munch on whatever they want, but their tummies are full, apparently. Saw some baby gazelle, Thompson gazelles, these are. Oops, going the wrong way. There was wildebeests that were newly born. Our guide told us that they can walk after 15 minutes after they're born. And some were very wobbly that we saw, so we just missed seeing them be born. Saw a number of hippos. Somebody caught just the right picture. I don't know if it's a yawn or what that is. There's lots of storks, lots of amazing birds, lots of animals. We saw 7 rhinos. They were quite a distance away, so it's not a real clear picture, but, and these are some really, I wouldn't want to be real close to. They're kind of creepy, the hyenas. And the warthogs, we didn't see a lot. Sometimes you see quite a few. And the Cape buffalo. And then after the team left, then after they went on safari, and Trey and I went back out to the campus, and that's a good picture of our classroom of tailors. And the carpenters are, again, busy at work. And this is just a neat picture I saw. That, you know, you don't know the language, although Trey bought a Swahili English dictionary and was reading it every moment he had free. And you'll notice there, the guys are holding his hands and touching him. And this is our zigzag machine. We don't, the other ones are just straight machines, and they have it hooked up to the wall so that the thread comes down correctly. And again, it's a treadle sewing machine. But and we also got to visit some alumni that were students the last time Trey was there. They had their own shop in Baguni, kind of in the center of the village. So that was kind of fun for him to get to see those students again. So God is just so faithful and so good, and it's just a thrill. It's kind of my happy place to go over there. It's a hard place. Life is very, very hard for these people. If God asked me to go live there, it would be a struggle. But and since Jeff doesn't want to go, he's a very good sender. He's a very good sender. So I just thank you all for the support you give me and the encouragement you give me, because it's amazing what God, that God would choose me to get to do something like this. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Patty. Would you all join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Give us mission, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Would you all stand for the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Pontius Pilate was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Benediction and closing prayer. Heavenly Father, you are such a great God. We praise you for wanting to use us to bless others. Thank you for your willingness of the people in this congregation to go and tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. There are so many ministries touching the lives of others through the youth programs, the Blessing Box, the nursing home ministry, visiting our shut-ins, and many more. Help us to encourage each other and keep our eyes on you, Lord. Be with Richard Hildebrand as he heads to Nicaragua today. Continue to be with Jeff Kyle as he proclaims your name in Mexico. Open each of our eyes to the mission field right at our elbow. Give us boldness and the words to speak. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Oh, Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.